We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, and reveals how God called Moses, despite his flaws, to courageously lead Israel, showing that God's work requires boldness and faith. Now, here's today's program.
The scripture said that he had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What's compassion? Compassion is when I see a real need and I do something to take action. That's compassion. Jesus had compassion for those people. Why? Because these were the very people he created. These were his very nation of people that were straight on their way to hell because they didn't have a relationship with him, and it burdened him. Do you have compassion for those who are being oppressed? I mean, when God calls you to a certain area of his kingdom, he'll give you compassion for that group of people. He'll give you compassion and show you they need help. They need encouragement. They need to be built up. We're called to that. As a church, I think we know that. And here's why. Let you know another little key insight. This world's a broken place because of sin. If there is no Jesus in this world, there is no hope. There's none. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about the different types of brokenness and still not exhaust all the kinds of brokenness. Because some of you have experienced all this. Divorce, death, loss of income, loss of a job, pain, hurt, brokenness in relationship, brokenness in the world. If you keep breathing, you're going to experience brokenness. And you know what the cure is? It's Jesus, and apart from him, there is no help. And even with Jesus, you're still going to experience brokenness in this world. And what do we need to be as a church, as God's people? We need to have compassion for those that are being oppressed, compassion for those who are being put down. What does Moses have in his heart? He's got compassion for the people of Israel being slaves. They're enslaved. For 400 years, his people have been enslaved. Moses grows a greater burden for that as he spends more time with the Lord and wants to see the people freed and wants to see them delivered. The longer you serve the Lord in whatever service or ministry he has for you, the more you'll want to see the people you're pouring into be set free and truly know the Lord and truly love the Lord and truly believe in the Lord and truly would be able to say, even if all else falls apart, as long as I have the Lord, I know I'm good. You want to see that in others. And that's what God wants us to be. We want to be a church that has compassion for the lost. We want to be a church that has compassion for those who've experienced incredible amounts of pain. We want to say, hey, I get it. It's a broken world. Somebody acted upon you in a way that they shouldn't have, and I get it. I'm sorry. Or how about this? I know you made a really stupid choice. I've made a lot of stupid choices too, and pain has come your way, and I'm here for you. I'm not blaming you. I've done a lot of dumb too. That's compassion, right? We need to have compassion for the oppressed. That's where we see brokenness, that's awful, where there's no relief. And guess what? We get to play a conduit of being relief to people that are going through that very thing. And as a church, I think that's part of the reason that we exist, to help people through their brokenness on this side of heaven until we're completely put back together. Because friends, I'm telling you, there's a day coming where everything's gonna be made right. And Jesus is gonna wipe every tear from your eye. And there will be no more mourning, and there will be no more weeping, and there will be no more anger, and there'll just be bliss and joy in the presence of our glorious Lord and Savior. Amen? God's kingdom advances through called courageous warriors, through compassion for the oppressed. Now, this is the point that I'm going to talk about where some of you are going to be offended, and you may get up and leave or never come back. And my goal is not to offend you. My goal is to present truth. But God advances his kingdom, and it occurs through confronting the oppressor and confronting the oppressors. It's one thing to see people oppressed and comfort and come alongside of them. It's another thing to go after the one that's causing the oppression. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you're being bullied at school. I'm really sorry. That's a really awful thing. It's another thing going after the bully and saying, you'll never bully again. Do you understand the difference? Both are loving. Both are godly. Both are Christian. Most of us don't think that confronting the oppressor is a Christian thing. We think we're called to sit passively by, and if God wants to do something, then he'll do it. No, we're called to speak and live the truth for the glory of God. And when people are, amen, give God praise for that. And when there are things happening to an individual or a group of people and we remain silent about it, we are agreeing with the oppression that people are under, right? Now, this is where people are gonna say, Pastor Jeff, you're just getting political. Everything I'm about ready to tell you is not a political issue, it's a spiritual issue. But too many cowardly preachers won't preach the truth of God's word. And if you can't hear the truth of God's word in the church, then where else are you ever going to hear it? Right? I mean, it'd be one thing if Moses went back to Israel and just had compassion for all the slaves and were healing all their wounds and rubbing salve and ointment on their wounds and saying, it's so bad that you got beat today and I'm so sorry. Let's pray that your oppressor gets a little better. That's not what they do. They're doing that. At the same time, they're going right to the king and saying, you're dead wrong and you need to repent. And we sometimes think, well, that's not very Christian. Yeah, it is. Do you know why? Because Pharaoh was on his way to hell and there was a way to get him out. And Pharaoh was destroying God's people and God didn't want his people destroyed. And God looks for a mouthpiece to stand up to all of that and say, this is wrong and you need to repent. Right? That's what's going on. And why Moses? He's a shepherd, y'all. What qualifications does he possibly have? We think sometimes, well, I know it's wrong what I'm seeing go on in the world, but we shouldn't really say anything because that's offensive. You've been duped. Okay, separation of church and state. You've been duped. If you study separation of church and state, you'll realize that Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the Danbury Baptists telling them that he would keep the government out of the church. The church was never to be kept out of government, ever. There's no document in our land that says you can't do that. None. You've been duped. And by the way, this is not church and state. This is a separation between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That's what it's a separation of. So let's talk about the kingdom of light. So when we have a whole world that talks about all these initials all the time, like BLM and CRT and LGBTQIA, that's 9 letters twice, 3 of them used twice. And they're all satanically inspired agendas, every single one of them. You say, how do you know? Because God created how many races? One. He created the human race in Genesis chapter 1. He created how many genders? 2. He created 2 genders in Genesis chapter 1. So you know that BLM is completely wrong because it's anti-biblical. Every race matters because there's only one race. So whatever color of skin you have, praise God for it and never apologize for it. It's who he made you. And if he made you male or female, whatever he made you, that's what you are, regardless of what you put in your body or surgeries you have, you are still who you were when you were conceived in utero. According to the Bible, you say, oh, Pastor Jeff, you're just being political. No, I'm being biblical. And if the church doesn't stand up and say that, who's gonna say it? Who's gonna say it? Now listen, it doesn't mean we don't have compassion because we just got done saying that was the point. We have compassion. So there's some people here who are confused by gender identity. I get it. I get it because Satan is always trying to deceive and confuse. And if that's you or you have a child or a grandchild that is struggling with this, we're coming alongside of you and we love you and we'll pray for you, but we will not change the word of God to accommodate sinful behavior ever. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Or how about abortion? It's not a political issue. Who creates life? God does. Who can take it away? God. Who else? Nobody. It's called murder. So it's not a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's not even a choice. Now listen, I'm talking about this issue because I know there's well over hundreds of people that attend Brave Church, some of you ladies that have had abortions. And I'll just tell you, there's amazing forgiveness from our God no matter what. He totally forgives everything. He'll walk you through things. And if you know, you've been raped or at incest and you're the 0.00001% that everybody wants to make an issue, we'll talk to you, we'll pray with you, we'll allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside you. We'll love you like you've never been loved. But we will not change the word of God to accommodate your pain.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, revealing how God called Moses, despite his flaws, to courageously lead Israel, showing that God's work requires boldness and faith. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
But we will not change the Word of God to accommodate your pain. Two wrongs do not make a right. Amen? Now, I know what some of you are saying. Pastor Jeff, now you're just being political. I'm just getting started. Right now, there's a bill in Virginia being proposed that parents, if your kid decides to be a different gender and you don't allow their surgery, you can go to jail. That's on the floor. So that's never going to happen. It will if you remain quiet and don't do anything about it. Vote. Vote. If you don't vote, you are saying that the gods of this age, I align with them and I want them to take over our nation. Your silence is agreeing. Your passivity is agreeing. If the Church of Jesus Christ would rise up and vote biblically and authoritatively on the issues that aren't even up for debate, our world would change. It's just that so many of us as Christians, instead of being contagious, called Christian warriors, are just a bunch of cowards that sit around and say, I hope we can do church. You realize Germany in the 1930s was a Christian nation? They had pastors that stood at the pulpit just like me. They sang Crown Him with Many Crowns. They sang All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name while Jews were being carted off in trains right behind the church. So they'd sing louder so they wouldn't have to listen to them while 6 million Jews went and were exterminated. And you say, what happened? How could that happen? Because people who were called by the name of God shut up, lived passively, and didn't do what God told them to do. Stand up, use your voice, use your vote, call people to repentance. That's what God tells us to do. Amen? That's what Moses is doing. Now, I grew up thinking, hey, church is here. Just the gospel. Let them be offended by the cross, not over anything else. Friends, we're living in a world where it's going to hell in a handbasket. And the reason that it is because Christians refuse to speak up. And I'm not going to sit here and come to church and sing Kumbaya every single week while our world unravels and we're doing nothing about it and just say, oh, I just hope we can still do services. No, we are called courageous warriors, both men and women. Women, listen to me. You're a warrior too. My firstborn, Brooke, I wanted to give her the middle name Killian. You know what Killian means? It means mighty woman warrior of the church. I tried to convince my wife. It had that cuss sound, like Brooke Killian. And my wife promptly said, we are not naming our firstborn after a beer. And so that went away. But I want men and women to be warriors for Christ. And when we talk about warriors, we're not talking about physical prowess, and we're not talking about hurting other people. What are we talking about? We're talking about loving God so radically, loving people so radically that we won't waver on the word, but we also won't waver in our love for you. Even if you think differently, we're going to radically love you. Even if you're hostile towards us, we're going to radically love you. Even if you take our life, we're going to radically love you, because that's exactly what our Lord and Savior did when he was being pinned to a cross in front of a group of people naked. What was he saying? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He showed love all the way to death. That's what we're called to do. But we are called to speak the truth, and we are called to live it. And I see it all throughout the Bible. We see Moses doing this with Pharaoh. We see Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego doing this with Nebuchadnezzar. We see John the Baptist doing this to Herod. We see Jesus doing it to Pilate. We see Paul doing it to Agrippa. And yet in our culture, we think if a pastor ever says something to a governor, oh, he's just being political. No, our governor needs to repent 100%. We are the most pro-abortion state in the entire union. Abortion started in Colorado. We have the most liberal laws for abortion in the state of Colorado. It's wrong. It's innocent blood being shed. And our governor is responsible for making those. And all those in office have voted for it. They need to repent and trust Jesus. And they're dead wrong. And I can say that because I have the authority of the Word of God backing me. Amen? Yeah. And then I will do my part and vote my part, and I'm one vote. And guess what? If things don't change politically, guess what? My Lord is still on the throne. But I will not stop. And I will not stop speaking, and I will not stop fighting for what? The truth. We love our governor. We're called to pray for him. I hope you pray for him every day. Pray that he would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Because I believe if the Holy Spirit got hold of his life, it would change him, just like the Holy Spirit changed me. I don't hate him, love him. But what he's doing is wrong. Does that make sense? That's what it means to have compassion for the oppressed. I have compassion for people that are getting hurt, but are also going to confront the oppressor, and we're not afraid of that in any way. Number four is this. I've already kind of addressed it. Courageous kingdom advancement occurs through challenging people to repent. Challenging people to repent. Listen, sharing the glory of God and allowing him to reveal himself to others causes people to repent. Romans 2:4 says, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance, right? John the Baptist's first sermon was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' first sermon was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter's first sermon, what must we do to be saved? Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. What was Paul's message? Acts 17:30, I now command all men everywhere to repent. What's repentance? Repentance is a turning in your life from what you have believed in and how you've been living to go all in with Jesus. That's repentance. Repentance is not, okay, I guess I'll believe. What do I have to do again? Do I have to sign a card? Do I have to, okay, what prayer do I have to pray? It's not that. It's like, I was serving these gods, now I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ only. That's repentance. It's a turn. I was living in this sin and now I'm living this way and I'm changing because God's changing me. It's a gift of repentance. We need to call people to repentance. We're not just telling people, hey, trust Jesus. We want you to trust Jesus, but we want you to repent so that you can trust Jesus, right? Lip service won't cut it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what as I say? Like, why do you call yourself a Christian and come to Brave every single week when you don't do anything he's telling you to do? Your belief system is demonstrated by how you act. Now, you're not saved based on your behavior, but if you are saved, your behavior will change. And where it hasn't changed, they'll be causing you to want to repent so that your behavior will change. I mean, we've been lied to for so long. It's just grace. It's all grace. It is all grace. And grace not only has the power to save, the grace has the power to transform and make you different. If there's never a change, it's because you're not saved. And we got churches filled with unsaved people that have been baptized and think they're saved. Call people to repentance. Lip service won't cut it. Jesus said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That would be the people in our generation that go to church, sing praise songs, listen to the word, praise God. I love Brave Church. But after you leave the church, until you get back into church, you live completely for yourself and your gods. Repent. Let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. And then fifth is this. Courageous kingdom advancement occurs through confidence in God's timing. Confidence in God's timing. It means as you're living courageously, as you have compassion for the oppressed, as you're confronting the oppressor, as you're challenging people to repent, just trust God's timing. Keep your composure. It's never going to be your timetable. It's never going to work on your timetable. I mean, Moses wanted to go to Pharaoh before the plagues even started and just see him turn, and that never even happened. Never going to be your timetable. Just keep your composure. God's got his way. It's never going to happen the way you want it to happen. Be comfortable with that, right? And that's what we're talking about. If you get these as a background, then we can go into what the plagues are, because for every single one of us, we've either seen a cartoon, a movie with Charlton Heston, or something about the 10 plagues. And we get, oh, I know this is gonna be so long and so boring. But if you understand why God is doing this, he's doing this because Pharaoh asked in chapter 5, who is the Lord and why should I be obedient to him? And God's gonna say, well, I'm gonna tell you who I am. And I'm gonna show you why you should be obedient to me. But unfortunately, you're gonna harden your heart, which is gonna make me harden it even harder. And one day it's gonna be so hard that I'm gonna demonstrate my glory through you to all of the world. Now, Israel, all the way back in Genesis 12, chapter verse 3, was to be a light to all the nations. So God was to bless the nation of Egypt through Israel. That didn't work because Israel or Egypt was oppressing Israel. So God says, okay, then I'm gonna do it this way. Either way, I'm gonna get my glory. Either way, I'm gonna protect my kids. Either way, I'm gonna do what I wanna do because I want the world to know that I'm God. So here's what God is doing. Through these 12, or through these 10 plagues rather, God is going to expose an Egyptian God and show how he's greater than that God that they're serving. That's what all the 10 plagues are about. They're gonna get more severe as time goes on. So I'm gonna cover a lot of ground this morning. We're closer to being done than you think, so just hang on. But here's where we go. Let's pick it up. in Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, work a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh so that it will become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh. Thus they did just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same thing with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. So before the plagues come, God tells him, you're going to go into Pharaoh. He's going to say, prove to me that you are who you say you are. When he says that, have Aaron throw down his staff. So they go in. Who am I to listen to you? Aaron throws down his staff. It turns into a snake. And guess what? There's a counterfeit. How many of you know that the devil can perform a counterfeit? He has some authority and some power under the lordship of Jesus Christ, under God, where he can form counterfeits. We saw it all through the book of Revelation, where people will be duped by believing the counterfeit. So his two wise men, magicians, throw down their two staffs. They become a snake. However, guess what happens? Aaron's snake swallows their snake. Aaron picks up his staff. They're staffless, right? They have no staff. But Pharaoh's like, well, since, you know, big deal. My people can do the same thing your people can. I'm not listening. And so what does Pharaoh do? His heart was hardened. It's going to get harder and harder. I'm telling you, some of you are here today and you're hearing this message and your heart's getting harder and harder and you're hearing the lie of the enemy. Hey, just trust Jesus when you get old. I mean, when you get old, I mean, maybe you can get older and then you can give your life to him now, because the longer you wait, the harder your heart will get, and there's no guarantee you'll ever trust him. Today, if you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your heart. And because Pharaoh hardened his heart, now we get into the 10 plagues. We're gonna go through four of them today. The first is this: the Nile turns to blood. The Nile turns to blood. Notice this. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water, and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile, and you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. That's the whole sermon for all 10 plagues. Okay, you want to know what's the point? Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. That's it. I want my people to worship me. But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. You've been asking who he is? By this you will know. I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, over their pools, over their reservoirs, over the water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So check out what happened. Verse 20. So Moses and Aaron did all that the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of all of his servants. And all the water that was in the Nile turned to blood. Check out the result. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through the land of Egypt. Now check it out. You see what's going on? Why would God go after the Nile? Because the Nile was the central source of all of their economic engine. It was their commerce. When the Nile flooded once a year, they believed in the God. His name was Happy, H-A-P-I. And Happy was the God of the Nile. And they worshiped Happy because he would overflow and flood the Nile once a year. And they would get that rich silt, that rich black silt where they could plant all their vegetation. So their entire economy came from their worship of this God. And what was God saying? He's saying, with one stretch of a hand through one of my servants, I can kill your economy in a moment. Worship me.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Courageous Kingdom Advancement, revealing how God called Moses, despite his flaws, to courageously lead Israel, showing that God's work requires boldness and faith. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.